You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Stefan Claudius. Now we're talking.
Guten Abend. Jetzt gibt es Type Radio.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the 20 Plus X Symposium in Munich, Germany. It's April 15, and our guest is Stefan Claudius. Welcome.
Welcome.
Stefan, are you religious?
Not really, no. Not at all.
Well, that sounds sort of doubtful.
I think when it's coming to the end, I might have hopes to, I don't know, something more that is on Earth. But at the present, I don't feel like there's more than I can see.
You were not raised religious?
Not really, no.
Do the inhabitants of Cape Arcona, are they religious?
No, not at all. It's very weltlich, what's the word?
Worldly?
Well, that would not be the correct translation.
No, I suppose not.
The opposite of religious is in German weltlich.
Yeah. Agnostic, maybe?
Maybe, but I thought agnostic is a word that sounds like you don't believe in God, but in not believing. And I don't even believe in not believing.
And do you have rituals?
I'm not sure. Sometimes you're blind to things that are too common for yourself. Maybe I have some, but I'm really not aware of any rituals apart from very careful toothbrushing, maybe, because of fear from caries or periodontosis. Mm-hmm. Is that a ritual?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay.
Obsession?
No, it's not obsessive. No.
But do you have rituals when designing? Do you do certain things a certain way?
I heard a Japanese calligrapher talk about the rituals before you can write. He said you have to be in a good mood, you have to feel empty, you have to feel prepared for anything, and you can only do good calligraphy when all is perfect for you. And it reminded me very much of the same state I would like to be in before I design something where I have to be creative or have ideas. I really try to empty myself, and I cannot start unless I feel prepared. It's really like I'm leaving the computer, first step, then make a good coffee, and then sit back, do nothing, drink your coffee, and after that I can start something, but not before. And I always think I cannot think while being in front of a screen. I always have to go back, maybe take a walk, or I don't know. But actually, I don't have to be creative too often. It's every few months. No.
What do you mean? Every few days.
No, I mean, creativity is not an everyday issue, at least not for me. And I spoke to Friedrich Forstmann, maybe someone knows him, and he said, well, maybe you're creative in half an hour in 2 years or so. And maybe he's exaggerating, but there's some truth in it. Also, we have a creative job or profession, the real moments of creativity, and I mean of developing a good idea, is not very often.
But isn't it something that you can sort of provoke?
There is no necessity of having ideas, normally. Normally you just do things. You have jobs and you do them, and especially typefaces don't need creativity. They need work and patience.
But wait, how do you... And then I'm curious what your definition is of creativity.
Figuring out things. Thinking of something new, somehow. And of course, in the beginning of a typeface, there must be a creative idea. But it lasts for 5 minutes, and the rest is work.
But that's very specific for typography and type design, because that's that incarnation of the idea is like is 1/1000% of the rest of the work you do, you put
in. Yes, yes, exactly.
But why do you see, I mean, don't you think like any decision you make, it is an idea, like whether you go left or right or...
Yeah, it's decisions, true, but I don't think that every decision is already a sign of creativity. And most things are also done unconscious. Doing things left or right is a conscious decision, but it's not creative. Even choosing a color or choosing a typeface is not creative. I mean, creative derives from creating, making something that wasn't there before. And it's really hard to do something that wasn't done before. Because most design relies on experiences you already have made or you're influenced by things you have seen somewhere. So I doubt that it's really creative.
Yeah. You were born in Essen and you studied as an industrial designer.
Yes,
how did you end up being a typographer?
It started at school. I was drawing and I started to draw letters on gridded paper during the lessons, and when I had my first computer, Atari ST, there was a little program where you could do bitmap fonts for yourself. That was basically the only thing I did with this computer. I did these fonts and then I printed out stuff for school. It looked awful, but it was fun to me, and all the others were playing games and or programming or so, and I was absolutely not into that. And well, then after school, there was nobody to tell me that the thing I was really into was type or typography or even type designing. Nobody knew, and maybe it was about 1990. It wasn't that famous at that point, because typography and especially type design was only done by I don't know, Linotype or Monotype or so, and not by individuals running around. So there could be no one to tell me. And I was very interested in industrial design, because it's easier to tell what is right or wrong in the design. If it works, it was right. And if it looks good, it's right. And for graphic design, it's much harder to tell what is right or wrong, because the functional aspect is not so clearly definable. And so I started studying industrial design. I enjoyed it very much. But right after it, I started as a graphic designer, because that was what I always wanted to do, and started type design as well. I had bought Fontographer as soon as it came out, but had the program lying around next to my computer for a couple of years and never had time to work with it. And after the studies, I was jobless for a while. So I thought, well, now it's a moment to start type design. And that's how I got into it.
So how did the idea of Cape Arcona come about? Like why a country? Why?
It's in the first place, we just wanted to do it differently from the others. Everybody was so serious about type and gray pages and black text, or gray pages and white text. I don't know. We felt it was so boring what we were seeing, and everybody was taking themselves so seriously. And well, I was always intrigued by books like News from Nowhere or Erewhon, utopian books. And I thought that was the perfect moment to create my own little utopia together with Thomas. But he always said, yes, do it.
But Thomas Sjostok, your partner in crime in Cape Arcona, what's the difference between the two of you?
It's a great difference. He's a very, very good designer and painter. He's actually more artist than designer. He hates serving people, and I don't. I like to have a partner. I see it as a partner. If someone's giving me a job, I like to work with him, not against him. And Thomas feels better when he's working on his own. And typefaces are something where I can work on his own, and paintings as well. So the difference really, he's the artist, and I'm the designer or servant or whatever. And he has a very emotional approach to design, and I have a very conscious approach. I tend to think a lot, and I don't know.
You could say, especially now it's changing, but the essence of the fonts of Cape Arconi, besides them being a lot for free, mm-hmm. is also that they look sort of clumsy and bad mm-hmm. and crappy,
yeah. Yeah.
while they are actually very well designed. I mean, it's a very well. Is that a conscious decision to make that kind of style, or just yes. did it happen?
In the beginning, it just happened, but it only reflects what we were always into. We were always attracted by imperfection, by some kinds of distortion that happens to type, or we were attracted to typefaces done by non-designers, like fish and chips or whatever. And he's painting a sign and thinks he's doing great type design with a piece of chalk. And we see this and think, wow, it's great. It's perfection lies in the imperfection. And we always felt attracted by that. So things that leads to a certain style. But over the time, I was much more attracted to serious type design. So maybe it will be time for a new foundry to put up, which is gray with black typefaces or gray with white typefaces. Yeah, maybe that has to be because I really feel that I'm not taken serious as a type designer in the way others are taken serious, and this will probably be due to the appearance that Cape Arconi has. It's colorful, it's trashy, and you wouldn't think there can be really good typefaces over there. And
oh, but that's what I mean. That's like the mistake that the public makes. They yeah. think and it looks like clumsy or imperfect. While actually, like working with it, it's like, you know, you make the imperfection of the thing, and you make that as a quality. And it's very hard to see that apart from really crappy typefaces.
Yeah, yeah.
But doesn't it partly have to do with the fonts also being for free?
Not everything is for free. The smaller part is for free, but maybe the free fonts are most popular because they are free.
Yeah.
So we are always identified with the free fonts, mm-hmm. Which is not such a lucky position. And this is, again, a point the new foundry should have no free fonts, only very, very expensive fonts.
Yeah. But how do you distinguish, like, when did you decide if it's free and when not free? Like, where do you draw the line?
On the amount of work. If we do it quickly and on one day or 2 days, then we think, well, okay, we had our fun, let's put it out for the public. But if I spend a year with a fund or two, then I want to be rewarded, and then it has a price.
And your last typeface endeavor is the Normal Family, and that did come out at Cape Arconi.
Yeah.
And are you also going to move that to the new foundry? Because that's a pretty serious type family.
Yeah, that will be the idea, to use some good typefaces, some serious typefaces for the new foundry. Thomas has one typeface as well, which is basically ready since 2009 and still is lacking the final touch. But when it's getting this final touch, it will be one of the fonts for the new foundry as well.
And do you keep the name? Will you keep the name? Or
no, we will have to find a new name.
New country.
New country. Yeah, new country. Maybe a new country. No, we didn't put up a new foundry because we couldn't find a name yet. That is the basic problem. Otherwise, we would already have done that. We have designs for the new foundry on our computers, but no name yet. If you have a suggestion.
Yes. Well, we can ask the listeners. If you have a good idea for a name for the other type foundry of the Cape Arconi guys, please send us an email.
Yeah.
You're also teaching?
Yes, I'm teaching a lot, and I really like it. I had the luck to teach at three different universities now. It was first in Essen, then in Dortmund at the Fachhochschule, then in Hamburg at the HFBK Art School, and now back to Dortmund. And every high school has a very different flavor, but it would be hard to say this one is better than the other. Every concept has its own qualities, but I really enjoy seeing so different universities. During my studies, I only saw two universities. It was Essen and Wuppertal. And there was a big difference in ways of how students were treated. And I think there are many other differences as well to the other universities. And that makes it very exciting to have different colleagues, different students, different rooms. Everything's different.
But you can't say that you have a heart, your heart in one of them. You can't say that.
Well, teaching in Hamburg was really great because it's very free. They basically have no grades.
Grades.
At the end of a term, you don't have to say it's an A or C or G or whatever. You just end the term and say, well, was great what you did, or maybe not so great, but it doesn't make any difference. It's not helping or stopping the student from doing something, and that leads to grades not being the motivation for the students, and that leads to them being in my course only because they are interested in what they can do with me. And I like this motivation much better than students that come to my course only because they need credit points or need to fulfill a module. It's very difficult in the bachelor system. Mm. Over.
But do you have to adapt your way of teaching if you have to teach people? Yeah? You have to change?
So.
Yeah.
I have to be more strict when it comes to grades, and I have to make clear what they have to accomplish in the end of a term. That must be very clear for them. And in Hamburg, it was totally open. They could do as much as they wanted to, and I would follow them in every step they take. And if they don't want to take a step in their development, mm-hmm. then, well, it's not a problem. Then maybe they do it next term or never. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Do you have heroes?
Oh, yes.
Superheroes?
No, I think a hero, Humphrey Bogart was a hero for reasons I can't tell. Maybe it's just the way he could stand and look and do nothing. And when you grow up, you're becoming more critical, so heroes get rare. But still, there are some people I idolize a bit. And one I can think of is Chauncey Griffith, who was a type director at Linotype in America. He designed typefaces like Excelsior or Yonic or News. And I idolize this moment in type history when Monotype and Linotype typesetters were being in need of new typefaces. And they looked back in history and found, oh, we have great type done in the 15th century. Let's make new versions of this. And I think this moment must have been very exciting because they recreated typefaces. They were not really copying the originals, but rather did their own interpretation. And that's amazing. And in a way, I idolize this. And, well, not only Chauncey Griffiths, but also Stanley Morrison. But as he didn't design so much on his own, maybe he's not such a hero as Chauncey Griffiths.
And Elvis Presley?
Oh, yes. That's
because he's referred to a lot at the Paper Corner website.
Yes, but it's Thomas' hero, more than mine. Most time I couldn't understand why Thomas liked him so much. But then he showed me one of Elvis' last concerts. He was already big and fat, and he was playing piano and sweating, and suddenly during a song he burst out into tears, and that showed me that he was not just performing, he was really feeling what he did. And that made me have a lot of respect for him, and it made me listen to his songs again and listen to it with a different feeling. And now I can understand why Thomas likes him in such a way.
Well, I think it's really funny, because it's in a way, it's an analogy to what Capricona is. On the first glance, it looks like a fat, overweight performer on drugs, and eventually there's more. There's emotion, there's an emotional side, and yeah. So that's basically how it...
Yeah, I didn't quite see that, but...
Yeah. You learn stuff, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, your sight looks fat. What can I say? But do you have the same feeling? Could you ever think you could do something else than what you do?
You mean like a different job?
Yeah, or this is the only thing you can... There's nothing else.
I don't... I mean, I think I do a lot of different stuff already. Teaching is very different from designing, and designing is different from designing typefaces. So I think I already do a lot of different things, and I feel very well with it. I think I would feel bad if I was only reduced to one thing. So, yeah, when I see the figures of how much people earn in different jobs, the thought crosses my mind, how would it be to be an engineer or so? But actually, I think I wouldn't feel good as an engineer. So there's no alternativity.
And how would you like to be remembered?
Could we do an interview in, let's say, 30 years again and ask this question again?
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.